Buccaneers fans, Dolphins week, week 5, Ira Kaufman podcast in the house, episode 2 of this week, as always presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, 61 years a tradition 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Bill Curry Ford is well known for their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. That is no joke. Check it out on their website, BillCurryFord.com. And General Manager Sean Sullivan is ready for you. He's going to help you personally. Sean Sullivan, just ask for him. He'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount, but more important, he will treat you like a member of the family, caring about your needs, and whatever questions he can answer, he's going to give it to you straight. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan. Get there today. You know you're shopping for a vehicle. Just go to BillCurryFord.com. It is that simple. And of course, Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. You can find it now in Publix. And if you've got any issue in your home, anything whatsoever, with a disaster, a leak, mold, you contact Florida's Elite Restoration. Their website, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Ira, this is a very strange week. I feel like this great exhale from Bucks fans and from the national media after the crazy Bucks game of Sunday night, the emotional game. Nobody's taking the Dolphins too seriously. Derek Brooks, your buddy on the Tampa 2, the identity Tampa Bay, he's talking about he wants style points. He wants multi-score victories. He wants a complete game. Run up the score, baby. What's the mindset here? How are you feeling?
Well, Steve, when Derek Brooks says he's looking for style points against an upcoming opponent, that means the upcoming opponent ain't no good. That's what it means, Steve. You know that. Brooks is normally very cautious. You can't take anybody for granted on any given Sunday. And Brooks would have none of that on our weekly podcast. Brooks wants a big-time victory. And you know what? So do Buck fans. Yeah, they're 3-1. And they're tied for the lead in the division. And I believe there's only one team in the league, Steve, that has a better record. And that's the Arizona Cardinals, unless you want to. Well, the Rams are 4-1, Steve. You got to give them that. But this is a team the Bucks need to roll over. We'll talk about it more as the podcast goes on. This is a tremendous time of year, Steve, for sports fans. I mean, it's fantastic. The baseball playoffs are going crazy. Week 5 in the NFL. Basketball and hockey professionally, gearing up, college football. I mean, what a time. And for me personally, I'm refocusing myself, Steve, because I just dropped my son back at the airport. He's on his way back to Cleveland. Good luck with that Cleveland winter, my friend. He accomplished a lot. You know, he played a little tennis. He went to the Y, kayak, canoe. He got a massage. And Steve, most importantly, at 2 o'clock in the morning, he's making himself a sandwich every night. I mean, well, what's going on with these people? I put a movie on, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I got Brad Pitt, Leo DiCaprio, good movie, Tarantino. And I'm looking, and he's on the couch, and he's watching, and he's got his phone going. I said, what are you doing? I'm playing Monopoly on the phone. Steve, what is going on with these young people? They're multitasking, they're doing this, they're doing that. When I went to New Utrecht High School, Steve, and I had a book report to write, I didn't even put the transistor radio on. I don't want anything taken away from my focus. It's a whole new world out there. You got to instruct me on this, Steve. I can't deal with it.
Well, I thought you would have had great pride when he was making that sandwich at 2 a.m., Ira. I thought, you know, that's something they did back in the 50s as well.
I wasn't happy because I had my eyes on it for lunch today. So be it, Steve. What is going on with the multitasking, Steve? And I'm in a world of hurt over here.
Oh, there goes your roast beef. Hey, before we go any further, Sage, I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper, our buddy Lee, is not with us right now, but through the magic of editing, we're going to catch up with him a little bit later. So sorry, Lee fans, and for the Lee haters, you get a break. I know that people go both ways on Lee. He's a polarizing force. But I'm just kidding, Ira. You know, the NFL, Sage, has done many studies on fan behavior. And a study in conjunction with Twitter, which they have a partnership with, The NFL, I remember reading, figured out that the average person is interacting with his phone 27 times per hour during a football game. Now, that's some of that social media, that's texts with buddies, you know, about the game, all kinds of things. But 27 times in an hour, Ira, that's quite a big average.
I mean, part of that's got to be fantasy football, because I know, Steve, between the hours of 1 and 7:30 on Sunday, yeah, I'm checking my phone. I want to see what's going on. And along those lines, Steve, you got to talk me in off the ledge over here, Isbits. Only you can do it. I'm leading the freaking league in scoring. I've scored the most points in the entire league, 12 teams, and I'm 1-3, Isbits. You're straightening out. You're 2-2. Steve, I think I'm just running into the wrong people at the wrong time. I got to think this thing's going to even out over the course of the season.
Well, you never know with injuries, Ira, but I've seen you've run into some tremendous bad luck last week especially. Keep your chin up, Sage. Keep firing away. And we haven't faced each other yet, so that will be fun, Ira. Maybe
I got Brady on Sunday, Steve. I'm feeling good about that. Unless the Bucs get a big lead early and then decide to turn it over to playoff Lenny. But I got Brady, and, you know, Miami's defense isn't bad, Steve, but this is a game the Bucs need to win by two touchdowns, Steve. It really is.
Sage, one thing fans should keep track of is that the new Ford Maverick 2022, it's time. It's time for that. You can check it out at BillCurryFord.com. And, you know, there's a national shortage of pre-owned vehicles. Your trade might be worth anywhere from $5,000, $7,000, $10,000 more than you think, depending on what you're driving. So get an instant cash offer at BillCurryFord.com. Ira, we've got great news. Bruce Arians today, Friday, says Jamel Dean, he's back. He's good. Good to go. Ready to roll, which is very exciting. They certainly need the help, the depth, and the experience there. Give Richard Sherman a break, especially if the weather is as hot as it's probably going to be. And yeah, Jason Pierre-Paul is going to play on Sunday. As we joked last podcast, he took one look at Joe Tryon and said, I'm playing no matter what. And in addition to the shoulder injury, his hand, which had been an issue earlier in the season, he'll be playing with a club. He's been practicing with a club, so I'm assuming he's playing with the club too. But so you know what? The reinforcements are coming, Ira. No Gronk, though. No Gronk.
And Gronk's a guy, Steve, it's worth repeating, who I'm not inclined to rush back, especially with the way the schedule's shaping up. Steve, I don't believe they're playing a team that currently has a winning record until they face the Bills, which is 2 months from now, Steve. I think that's right. So the schedule's really softening. I mean, you played the Rams. Dallas looks better than I anticipated. I think the Bucs are catching a break. No reason to rush Gronk back. And, you know, JPP wants a piece of Jacoby Brissett, and I don't blame him. And you get him, Tryon, and Shaq Barrett looked better last week. So I like everything that's going on at the Bucs right now. Yeah, they got some injuries, but I think everybody's going to be back in a month, Steve, and just in time to make that late season push, which they showed us in 2020 and was so breathtaking in its scope.
Sage, with the Bucs having a game on Thursday night at the Eagles, that's the situation you don't want in the NFL is the Thursday night road game, but they got one. Eagles are good in the trenches. They're not really too good anywhere else. A little inconsistent, but they're certainly more talented than a lot of teams. Do you, as a coach, Sage, does Bruce Arians, is probably an even better question, does he do anything in this game with any eye toward Thursday as far as who you use, how much you use them, awareness of guys being available and healthy and fresh, or do you just not make anything related to that decision until the fourth quarter of Sunday's game, assuming you have a lead? Is that a factor here in any way, even if extended out to Ronald Jones or Leonard Fournette or who they like is a better matchup or anything?
Interesting point, Steve. I don't think the weather will be a factor in terms of heat and humidity in Philly on Thursday night. I'll tell you where you might want to put your emphasis is the Buck defensive line, Steve, because the only thing that worries me, I think, going to Philly other than getting a bad cheesesteak, Steve, is Jalen Hurts, you know, he can really hurt you with his legs. I mean, the guy is super quick and takes a toll on the pass rushers. And so I'm glad that JPP is back, ostensibly, on Sunday. And I think that adds to the depth up front. I still think Anthony Nelson should play a little bit, get those guys going, make sure Golston plays. I want them fresh on Thursday because I'm not worried about Philly's skill players necessarily. They remind me a little bit about New England, Steve, in terms of, you know, there's no Cooper Kupp on that team. There's no Julio Jones on that team. So I'm not worried, you know, Davante Adams. You're not going to find that on the Philadelphia roster. But Hurts could wear you out in a hurry, Steve, even in a night game, you know, with 60 degrees. He can have you panting midway through the first quarter. I'm more worried about Hurts' legs than I am about his arms. So I like the depth on the D-line, Steve, and you make an interesting point. I want those guys fresh going into Thursday night.
Ira, speaking about the trench play, interesting little nugget from your buddy Joe Gilbert, the offensive line coach who focuses on the tackles with the Bucs. And he was on the Buccaneers radio network, and he was asked about Tristan Wirfs. And, of course, he glowed about him. You know, hey, Wirfs came in. He was a sponge. Worked his butt off. Just, you know, all the amazing stuff we heard about him last year. And then Gilbert went on to say that, well, this year he started off not quite where he ended up last year. And he basically admitted that he hasn't been playing to the same standard until against the Patriots, when he said he played much better against the run. There were a lot of little things or specific things they were looking for him to improve in the run game. And this was the game that he finally did it. And so everybody was very pleased. And, you know, Wirfs continues on his jaunt to what's hopefully is a great career. What do you make of that admission, Ira? It's stuff that we had talked about. Hey, he doesn't look to be the same. And sort of confirmation that we were seeing the right things. And, you know, it's still exciting for Wirfs because at 22, he could get a lot better.
You're right, Steve. It's confirmation. You know, I said it on our first podcast this week. He's not playing poorly, but he's not playing up to 2020 standards. Now, he set a very, very high bar last year. I voted for him as my all-pro right tackle, and there's 32 right tackles, and I voted for him. Now, that doesn't happen very often for a rookie to make an all-pro team, and I believe he got 10 votes. So that's a big number. I think there's 50 AP voters, and he got 10 of them. You know, he wasn't a first team, but he could have been. He could have been. And, Steve, the other part of this that I love is, and I think it's part of a trend, the Buck assistant coaches, not the coordinators, but the head coach and the assistant coaches are very refreshing in their comments, I think. And I think this is just the latest example. Steve's not the first time Joe Gilbert said anything, or Kevin Ross, or Larry Foote, or Clyde Christensen. The assistants are very candid, Steve. They don't have that filter. You're not going to get that from Todd Bowles. You're not going to get it from Byron Leftwich. You're just not. You know, they operate in their own style, and that's fine. But Nick Rapone, another one, Steve, tells it like it is. And as you said, Joe Gilbert is not finding fault with Tristan Wirfs. He's not playing a below par for an NFL starting right tackle. But the expectations are so high for Tristan Wirfs that they saw what he did on a consistent basis in 2020. And you think the guy's going to improve in year two. I am not worried about Tristan Wirfs, Steve. You're not worried about Tristan Wirfs. I'm glad that Gilbert thought he had a bounce back game in Foxborough. And I think he'll go out and kick a little butt on Sunday against Miami.
I agree, Sage. I agree. And, you know, we're going to give some different love today, Ira. We always talk about you watching every Bucs road game at the Big Storm Clearwater Tap Room. They've got a beautiful smaller tap room in Odessa. No outdoor seating, but a really nice indoor setup. And Oktoberfest there is tomorrow night, Saturday night. And get all the information at bigstormbrewery.com. You can see the four different tap rooms, also in Orlando at the Amway Center and in Cape Coral. And in Odessa right there on Success Drive off State Road 54. You can follow them on Facebook, see the daily specials. But Big Storm Beer, that's Florida's best craft beer. You can see all the beers at bigstormbrewery.com or head over to Publix. They've got Big Storm Beer now, at least Bromosa. A lot of locations have other options as well. Palm Bender, IPA, Tropic Pressure, Golden Ale. Big Storm Beer, Ira. It's a long weekend coming up, and we're fired up to always savor a Big Storm beer. I know you love some Big Storm. I might have to get a delivery out to your house, Ira.
Steve, I've been to that one on Success Drive in Odessa many times. It's a great setup. You know, in future years, who knows, we may do some things over there. But for now, we're in that big Clearwater location, that great outside area, fresh air. You can go inside if you want. But I'll say it again, Steve. I think Big Storm is a company to watch. They're on the rise. They got sharp management. They're ambitious. I just think they're going to dominate the craft beer business in the Bay Area for years to come, and I think it's happening right in front of our eyes.
What is this, the Fox Business Channel or something, Ira? What are you doing over here?
Well, Lou Dobbs is on a shaky hold over there, so I hear there might be an opening, Stevie.
Sage, the Dolphins have a couple of their starting corners. Xavien Howard, their superstar, he's got two injuries. They're as banged up as the Bucs are in a lot of ways. Obviously, they're down a quarterback. You already mentioned Jacoby Brissett. I'm not sure it's a huge loss for them, given what Tua's done. But it's really a unique opportunity for the Bucs to get home, get healthy, and you know, up that record to 4-1. But I wanted to – I know Lee isn't always the biggest fan of talking about some of the media-related things because they don't affect on the field. But this one was just too interesting for me, Ira. I got to get your Sage take. So this week, of course, like every week, Tom Brady does his mandatory news conference. Every starting quarterback of the week gets trotted out. He's got to do it or he gets fined. Okay, you know, Brady's been doing this for years. Well, he's coming off the biggest game in many ways of his recent career. That's not a Super Bowl. You know, very unique situation. And Brady's news conference, Ira, after about 4 minutes and 45 seconds, he says, take care, guys. And then he takes one more question because it was sort of thrown out to him before he stood up. And he answered it and walked off. What is going on with a 5-minute news conference from Tom Brady when obviously there's plenty to ask him? The Bucs are doing well. He's fine. It's very strange, Ira. And all the news conferences this week were very, very short.
I think he's all talked out, Steve, to be honest. And you know, he made himself pretty accessible. He really did. In the week leading up to the New England game, and as you said, a very unique situation for a guy who's basically seen it all in 20-plus years of football. But he had never been in that situation. He gave Michelle Tafoya plenty of time. He lingered on the field, rubbing shoulders with his former New England teammates. And then his coach comes in, former coach comes in the locker room, gives Belichick 25 minutes and giving the cold shoulder to the Tampa Bay media in the process. But, Steve, realistically, can you really cut Belichick off after 8 minutes and say, I got to go, coach? I mean, these guys have such a history together. I think he's emotionally, wrought. I mean, I just think, you know, his focus is now on this game. It's just another game. And Steve, it's not the first time he's cut off a weekly thing after 5 minutes, Steve. It's not the first time. We remarked about it several times last year. He doesn't necessarily do it in the post game, but he does it on that Thursday chat with the local media. I like the idea that his focus is back on the game. And by the way, he didn't play particularly well. Nobody wants to say that. But Steve, in this day and age, for example, the Bucs are giving up 73%. Completions. We both think that's ludicrous, and that'll calm down as the season goes on. It will. You're not going to stay there. But Steve, he barely completed half his passes. I mean, who does that? Every joker out there, you know, is at a 60-65% completion rate in this league. You know, New England's defense is not the 76 Steelers. He was definitely off, and I think that game took a toll on him. Luckily, the defense bailed him out a little bit. New England missed a field goal at the end, or the Bucs could have lost that game. So I'm not too worried about Brady's press conferences, but sometimes, Steve, I'll give you an example.
Sure.
Steve, you're aware of this. Mike Tomlin was asked this week, because now local media used to get the head coach from the out-of-town team.
Sure.
Mandatory, Steve. Used to be mandatory. And we used to go into our workroom at One Buck Place and get these Ron Rivera on the phone and John Fox in days gone by. and Belichick even. And now it's sort of up to the coach whether he wants to do it or not. And a lot of them aren't doing it. And it's usually on a Wednesday. I don't want to be bothered. I don't have to do it. I'm not going to do it. Somebody asked Mike Tomlin, why are you still doing it with the upcoming team's media that's playing the Steelers? And he says, I feel it's my responsibility. Tomlin gained a lot of respect by saying that. I've always thought Tomlin was a straight shooter. But sometimes I don't feel that Brady has enough love for the local media. Steve, he always does that Monday night show. He's got plenty of time for Jim Gray. He's hawking his products. He's getting paid. Well, he's not getting paid to chat with the media on Thursday afternoon. But it is part of his responsibility, Steve. And sometimes that's a little erratic with him.
I hadn't heard about that from Mike Tomlin. That's interesting. I know you guys are good buddies. I'm not going to retell that story of the owner's meeting when you when he interrupted a televised event to chat with you on camera, which was hilarious. But maybe one day we can find the footage of that thing. Sage, this is kind of neat because it's just something that doesn't happen every day. And it's regarding Will Golston. CBS Sports actually did a feature on him, which I was very surprised. Jonathan Jones, a reporter, had a little feature on Will Golston at CBSSports.com. Talked to him after the game. You know, Golston has been playing extremely well. He's up to a 318 pounds, Ira. He came in at like 280, had dropped some weight, and now, you know, the Bucs coaches say that he's the perfect fit for the offense, for the defense, tailor-made for this scheme. He's playing at like 318 on his 6'6 frame. You know, he doesn't even look fat. And, you know, he's been tremendous this year and last year. He's got a couple sacks already this year. Last year, he led the team in quarterback hits. This year, he's got 5 and 4 games, almost on the same pace. And he's a free agent after this year. Maybe that's why he did the interview. Maybe he's getting a little eager to stand out among the crowd of talented Bucks here. But I thought that was kind of interesting, Ira. And there is also a nugget that was dropped on one of the Buccaneers' official podcasts that said, of all people, this is a great trivia question, Ira, Will Golston has played the second most games at defensive tackle in Buccaneers history behind number 99.
Golston's an interesting case, Steve. I think if you looked on a scale, Steve, of games played and stories written about a guy or quotes from a guy, Golston would be near the bottom in franchise history. I mean, he's been around a long time. He's one of the most tenured Bucks. He's not a bad player. And interestingly enough, and I don't know if you agree with me, Steve, but he's pretty articulate. Nobody ever talks to him. They never bring him out, rarely. And even when the locker rooms were open, which they have not been for the past two seasons, not a lot of people talk to Will Golston. He's not standoffish, Steve, but he constantly goes under the radar, Steve, constantly. You know, I found him fairly interesting, fairly incisive, and you almost forget that he's on the team. Arians repeated a stat that I believe you've mentioned many times, and I dare say Arians got it from our podcast, Steve.
No. But,
it's possible, Steve. It's possible. You never know. But that he did lead the team in QB hits in 2020. That is startling. But nobody ever talks to Golston, Steve. It's kind of remarkable.
Well, I don't want fans to think that we're being snobby here. I mean, we've had the benefit of being in the locker room before COVID and seeing guys and watching their interactions and stuff. And Golston, I think, is the classic guy, but usually they don't stick around that long. Golston was kind of shy, kind of quiet as a younger player coming out in 2013. This was not a big, loud guy or what, just sort of a very polite, quiet kind of guy. And then, you know, he had a strong year in 2016, and then he got hurt, and he sort of blended in a little bit and was just not a name kind of player. But at this point, I think he's evolved into a very interesting quote, a very insightful guy, and was always very friendly. Just kind of, I think he's just less reserved than he used to be. But you know, really, 123 games now by Will Golston, he's becoming the next DeMar Dotson.
And Steve, he's a big part of that rushing defense, which is so stout. He's a big part of it. And, you know, on occasion, he will make a critical sack. And that's when you notice, like, hey, you know, Golston's really having a good season. You don't notice him that much in terms of the rushing defense, even though he's integral to it. And he's not always on the field, Steve, on third and eight. But, you know, once in a while, give you sacks. And sometimes they come at opportune moments.
Yeah, he's just a quiet quiet player in a quiet situation. He's called himself a late bloomer, Ira, and the guy's missed eight games. This is his ninth year. That's always impressive. That's going to get him a contract next year in a big way, whether it's here or somebody else. He's making about $5 million a year. He's probably properly paid by NFL standards as well. And if his pass rushing improves, he might see himself with a raise next year. Ira, we've got some interesting things to get to here with the picks, because I'm not going to make it easy for you with these picks. But first, I want to let everybody know that FloridasElitereStoration.com, that is the website you need in your phone. FloridasElitereStoration.com. They're a local company. Florida's Elite Restoration owner Josh Martin works with plumbers and contractors and property managers and great businesses all over the Tampa Bay area, in addition to serving regular homeowners. You know, you have a flood in your condo or you've got mold and you need a helping hand and somebody who knows, a company that knows how to handle your insurance company so you don't get ripped off. That's Josh Martin and Florida's Elite Restoration. Josh has 14 years as an insurance adjuster. Now he's on this side of the business for several years, and that makes their company incredibly equipped to be honest and to treat you right and to make sure you don't get messed up in your time of need. Fire damage, wind damage, mold, they're licensed mold remediation specialists, but you can call them 24/7. And of course, the plumbers, the contractors, if you're looking to work with an honest company, you can call Josh as well. He'll go over how they handle treating customers, because it's very, very impressive. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. All right, Ira, look, it's obvious that you think the Bucs are going to win and win soundly. And that's obvious to anybody listening and to most of the fans watching. So, Sage, I'm putting you on the spot. I want to know how they're going to win. I want to know some stars of this game. I want to know a little bit more about how you think they're going to approach it offensively, defensively in this. And, of course, we need a score.
I'm going to say on offense that it's going to be an Antonio Brown day. I think he's going to get at least one scoring grab, if not more. I got him for about six catches, a buck 09, 109, and a touchdown. So for me, Antonio Brown, and you know, Brady's been kind of quiet, Steve, for 2 weeks after nine touchdown passes the first two games. Steve, it's been a little quiet. He's had one in the last 2 weeks, right, Steve? One scoring pass, and I was talking about how he's on pace for 77 touchdowns. Well, you know, now he's got 10. Through 4 weeks, that's still a healthy number. So I think he gets back. Brady gets the scoring touchdown passes, but I believe Antonio Brown will be the standout on offense. And on defense, this is a game, to me, we see the real Devin White. We see the Devin White of 2020. I like the fact that that blitz last week led to an interception off a tipped ball. Steve, I think he's frustrated because he really takes pride as a blitzer in disrupting the quarterback. So I think we're going to see that Sunday. So I'm going with Antonio Brown, Devin White getting the game balls and a Buck victory, 34-13 Buccaneers.
Interesting. I think the Bucs are going to be very, very committed to running the ball in this game, maybe overly committed in part to give these cornerbacks a break, you know, to try to save them a little bit. I sort of hinted that I was thinking about something for Thursday night's game, but I think they're dying to control time of possession in this game, give the defense a break, give the corners a break. Richard Sherman, Pierre Desir, Jamel Dean coming back from the injury, just to give them as little work as possible and to really grind out that running game that they were so happy to have finally established against the Patriots. And I think they're going to force the issue on that. So, yeah, we'll see our play action, our big shots. I'm not going with Antonio Brown, Ira. 109. Where does a guy come up with 109 yards? What is this?
It's a funny number, and you know, I'm all about the funny, baby.
109. Anyway, I think this is Mike Evans' breakout game. I really do, Ira. I think we're going to see a couple of touchdowns from Mike Evans. Hopefully that 100-yard mark. But I think the run game is going to be huge here, between the screens and the pounding the rock. And I'm going to predict 150 yards on the ground, their best rush performance, Ira. And just nice. A methodical beating here, 27-17. I'm tempted to go 30-17, but I really think they're going to just, it's going to be more of a possession kind of game. So I'm going 27-17 Bucks. And through the magic, let's head over to Lee. All right, Lee. So you heard from Ira, you heard from me there. Now I'm expecting the Bucks to really focus on that run game. Not that I would necessarily do it, but I think they want to keep the ball as much as possible, keep the pressure off those corners, and keep everybody fresh for Thursday. Ira's looking for a dominant, big-time victory, a Brady bounce back. What is your thought, Lee, as far as the score and what you expect, maybe some focus in this game?
I think they're going to have a big win, a double-digit win. I don't know if big is the word, you know, like 10 points. I hear Chris Russo keep saying on SiriusXM that the Bucks are going to have an emotional letdown because the Brady game's passed. That's inventing something, you know? It's like hocus-pocus head shrink stuff. They should beat them more, like you guys. I think they're going to keep it to the run game, so that will, you know, keep it a little bit closer. But I believe they beat them by 10. They should dominate this game in the trenches. They really should.
Is there anything you feel, anybody you feel is going to stand out? Anybody who's sort of tailor-made for this game? You know, last week it was Antonio Brown who got the targets, and he was the guy sort of the Patriots maybe conceded, okay, this is going to be the big weapon that we'll be forced to leave a little bit more wide open. Where do you think it goes this week?
I wanted to mention a guy, but there's no way to qualify what he does. With the Dolphins being lousy in the trenches, I can see Ryan Jensen going crazy, which means they would be running like crazy. But there's no way to qualify that, of course. So I'm going to say the Rojo yo-yo continues. And this time it will be up. Rojo gets right around 100 yards, scores a touchdown, and the Rojo yo-yo will continue.
I like that, the Rojo yo-yo. You know, you wrote, I thought it was kind of bizarre. You wrote that, wrote up that piece of the guy in the New York Times who wrote about Vita Vea potentially being Defensive Player of the Year. I wasn't sure what the guy was even talking about. I mean, you can't get Defensive Player of the Year. You can't get it without stats. That's just how the award is given, and that's just the reality of the NFL. You're always going to have some cornerback with 8 interceptions and a guy racking up 17 sacks and a guy like Vita Vea who plays, you know, maybe 60% of the snaps just because he's a wrecking ball that no one's ever going to vote for him. I wasn't really sure what this guy was talking about, but it's interesting that he's looked at in that light.
Yeah, it is interesting, and I completely agree with you. If he, for a defensive lineman, especially an edge rusher, but a defensive lineman, they don't get sacks. They're not going to be considered Defensive Player of the Year. That's like a linebacker getting the award who doesn't have a lot of tackles. That's just not going to happen unless the guy has some ridiculous amount of interceptions. That's just not going to happen. So I thought it was interesting the way he was looking at it, that Vea has such an impact on the defensive line for guys like Shaq Barrett, for guys like Joe Tryon. And of course, he has an impact for Levante David because it keeps bodies off of those guys.
Hey, did anything this week at all, you know, it's been sort of a weird week, sort of a, as far as the hype goes, a total letdown of a week, and things were pretty quiet at $1. Nobody was saying very much. It's the Dolphins, a team, there's no rivalry there. They suck. They've got their backup quarterback in there. They're not really good at anything other than they do have some guys, if their secondary's healthy, they can play some defense. I don't even think, you know, we heard some of the reporters trying to manufacture a storyline of Brian Flores seeing Tom Brady in practice for years. I don't know what that bullshit means, but bottom line is that anything stand out for you in the course of the last few days from what you've seen coming out of $1, if anything at all?
Well, outside the injuries, nothing's really jumping out at me. Injuries, book broke, Khan, which is Carlton Davis. I mean, Arians last Friday, if Carlton Davis is going to need surgery, his response was, no idea. That was like, whoa. That tells me surgery is on the table. If they weren't even thinking about surgery, no way Arians says no idea. That just blew me away. So, Carlton Davis goes on Twitter, hey, I'll be back sooner than you guys think. I'm feeling good. And then JPP happened to have a video on his Instagram feed of Carlton Davis bouncing out of the locker room. He looked healthy as can be. And all of a sudden, you hear all these dire prognostications about Davis. Oh, he might have surgery. And, oh, he's going to be out for a while, and he's on IR. I don't know what to think, but I can only go by evidence. And evidence is he's on the injured reserve list, and evidence is the Arians did not deny surgery as a possibility. So that's kind of scary. So outside the injuries, I guess the positive injuries as well. What I mean by that is JPP is back. Jamal Dean is back. And what a world we live in. We're sweating over the possibility of Jamal Dean missing snaps and Pete Rose having a gambling podcast. What a world we live in.
I didn't see that. Pete Rose has a gambling podcast?
Yeah, he's got gambling podcasts now.
Hey, there's an expert right there. If there ever was one, that's him. He's got a lot of years in the game. All right, Lee. Well, hey, we're glad we get to have a sort of a check-in with you versus anything else. But a weird week, a different week, a lot to keep an eye on. I know all my eyes are going to be fixed on Richard Sherman in this game. I want to see how he bounces back. Does he look more fresh? Is he a little drained? You know, a lot of veterans would jump in like he did at 33 years old, and the next week they're really feeling it. I'm really curious to see what he looks like. Anybody you got your eye on for this week, specifically one player?
Sherman is a good one. If I recall correctly, and I'm not trying to kill the guy, I'm just stating facts. Or wasn't Mac Jones 9 for 9 targeting receivers at Sherman?
It certainly looked that way, and he was playing a pretty soft coverage and just trying to keep everything in front of him and make the tackle, which it almost cost them the game as a group. I'm not blaming it on Sherman, but you would like to see him be a little more aggressive, a little more Richard Sherman in this game.
He was tackling well, which is a good sign.
It's easier to tackle when you're not covering, when you're just focused on the tackle. But I had that argument with somebody before. I'm like, yeah, go out and play in the street. It's easier to tackle if you're not trying to break up the pass. And I'm simplifying it, but you know what I'm saying. All right, Sage, Lee, of course, says picking a Bucs victory. I think last year he picked the Bucs in every single game. No, I'm teasing.
Well, Steve, I've picked them 5 straight weeks now. And the way the schedule looks, Steve, I really... I'm not inclined to pick against them for the next month, so I might be chasing Lee in that category. But there are going to be games in the second half of the season that are going to be more difficult.
Yeah, for the fans who don't really look at that schedule and just sort of go week to week or don't have it psychotically memorized like guys in our shape do, you've got Miami this weekend, obviously, then at the Eagles, the Thursday night we've talked about, then home for the Bears, which is a great spot for the Bears. And then you've got the Saints on Halloween before the bye week. So we got 4 more before the bye. The Sage himself predicted the Bucs would be 7-1 at that bye week. So you still think they're going to run the table, Ira?
I do. The Saints are so up and down, Steve. And I'm waiting for Jameis Winston to get the green light. Steve, can the guy throw 30 passes? I'm not asking for 50. Can he throw 30? It worked in week 1. Spectacular, but they are very up and down, the Saints. Right now, I think their defense is better than their offense, Steve, right now.
Most definitely, that's how they're winning, and it'll be interesting to see if Christian McCaffrey comes back and pushes his hamstring this week. They say that there's a decent shot of that game time decision. It's a weird position, Ira. As a Bucs fan, I can't even remember the last time that I'm sitting here in October thinking, hey, we're just cruising. Nobody can touch us this month. And we're going to just sort of fast-paced jog our way to a great record, get to November, get everybody healthy. It's new territory, Ira, and I'll let you address that as we say goodbye to Bucs fans and remind them to drink Big Storm beer. If you're drinking beer this weekend, don't blow it. Big Storm beer. Bill Curry Ford presents all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. GM Sean Sullivan has his Best in Class podcast, which I suggest you take a listen to if you love hardcore football talk about draft picks. And he's our draft guru, but he also is now tracking first and second year players around the league in a unique, fast-paced look. So check that out at JoeBucksFan.com, Best in Class podcast. And of course, our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. Keep them in mind. That's where you turn if you have a disaster. Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
Steve, there was an interesting development within the NFC South this week. Got a little bit of bearing on one buck place, and that is the fact that the Patriots made Stephen Gilmore available, one of the best cornerbacks in football. A lot of Buck fans immediately assumed that Jason Light was going to go out and get this guy, you know, with Brady's tacit approval lurking in the background. It didn't happen, Steve, but more interestingly to me is the team that got him, and that's the Carolina Panthers. It is a team that was playing sensational defense through 3 weeks of the season until running into the Cowboys, and Buck fans saw in week one that Dallas is very potent on that side of the ball. With Dak Prescott's off to a great start, and they got that running game. So they gouged Carolina pretty good. But still, Steve, they're 3-1. I've said many times on this podcast that I was there when David Tepper was introduced. It was at a meeting in Atlanta, and Roger Goodell introduced David Tepper as the new owner of the Carolina Panthers. And I was sitting there in that room. It was about 15 or 20 of us, the media. And he came on like gangbusters. He's a former hedge fund manager. First of all, they got deep pockets. That tells you number one. And he's the sole owner. It's not like, you know, it's a conglomerate or anything. And this guy, he got some stars in his eyes, Steve, about that 3-1 start. He thinks Gilmore's a guy that might put them over the top in terms of a playoff. I don't believe that's going to happen. Now, are they on the right track? Yeah. You know, going forward, they might be good in a couple of years. But I don't think Carolina has enough of what it takes. And they make a big splash with Stephen Gilmore. So, Steve, my takeaway is keep your eye on the Panthers as one of the more aggressive teams in the National Football League. When guys are available, they're interested. And we shall see how that develops. But the fact is, Tepper's not going anywhere. He's got big plans. He wants new stadiums. He wants this. He wants that. It's going to change where they do their training camp. He's a mover and a shaker, Steve. David Tepper. Don't forget that name. You know, if you think the Glazers are aggressive, and they are, when there's a glamour guy to get, like a Tom Brady, they go after him. And a Gronkowski, they sign off. Well, there's a new sheriff in town, too, Steve, in the division. Watch out for the Panthers. I think they're a couple of years away, but they could be a force to be reckoned with.
All right, the sage has spoken. And Ira, maybe we will get back to fans very early next week. Hopefully we can sit down after the game on Sunday, since we got a quick turnaround for Thursday. And we will catch some of your wisdom early next week. Go Bucks.